This sound was recorded on the 5th of October, 1963, medium Leslie Flint.
How are things? Oh, everything's going on all right, I think. A few odds and ends, a bit awkward at times, but otherwise everything's all right.
Well, what's gone wrong?
Well, nothing's gone wrong, love, but one or two people that are just a little bit of, shall we say, well, take a bit of getting along with, you know.
I'm thinking
about the lady in the flat below me and things like that. It's all nothing. It doesn't matter. I can cope with it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly.
It's a very long time, I believe, since last I spoke to you.
Yes.
It must be some months.
No.
How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you.
Is it not some months ago?
No, you came through at the last sitting just for a little while, and then Rudy came afterwards.
Oh. Well, I lose sense of time. Time is of no consequence to us. We're not conscious of time in the sense that you are, but it seems some considerable time since I really spoke.
Before that, it was a long time.
How are you?
I'm keeping very well, thank you.
Good. You mustn't overtax yourself.
No, I do at times, you know.
I'm sure you do.
Get very tired, but never mind.
Your mother's here.
Yes.
She's very close to you. I have a feeling that there's some special anniversary just about this time.
Not too much.
She's with your father.
Oh, I see.
Does that surprise you?
Well, not really, no, because
Well, anyway, they seem to be extremely good friends, on the very best of terms. I'm sure they're not together from the point of view of living together, but they seem to have an understanding.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad they've got together, you know. It was all so distressing, and it didn't lead anywhere.
Do you know who Peggy is?
Peggy, yes.
I don't know what this is all about, but there's some reference being made to Peggy.
Yes, I know Peggy. In what way a reference to her?
Is she on Earth?
No, she passed over quite a long time, about 1945, I think.
Oh, well, I don't understand this. All I know is that your mother, for some reason, said that she's been in touch with Peggy, and I wasn't sure whether she meant she was in touch with Peggy on Earth or whether she was in touch with Peggy over here. She didn't explain that to me, but evidently this Peggy, from what I can gather, is very, very happy, very settled.
Well, Peggy was my mother's sister, my auntie. Well, actually, her name was Margaret, but she was always known as Peggy.
Well, your mother's been talking to me about Peggy, conveying to me about Peggy, and that she says she often sees Peggy, and she's very well and she's very happy. And I was a little in the dark on this because I didn't quite know whether she meant someone on this side or someone on Earth.
No, she's on your side.
And who is Tom? Do you know who she refers to when she speaks of Tom? She's also referring to a Tom or Thomas that she's met here, and also someone called Julie, which I think is rather unusual.
Julie,
name.
But I do know Tom, yes.
Is he an uncle too?
Oh, no, he's no relation whatever. He was a very good friend.
Well, your mother seems very talkative and very informative about people. She seems to be enjoying herself thoroughly, and from what I can gather, she has lost a great deal of the, I don't know if I should use the word resentment, but she's certainly much happier in herself, and she seems to come with a great deal of love and affection, and which of course is very natural, but she doesn't seem to have any of the feeling that I did sense with her a long time ago, not of antagonism exactly, but a feeling of possibly something she'd brought from the earth in connection with her life. Perhaps you'd understand.
Well, I do understand. You see, her life was practically one life of bitterness. She was very, very bitter.
Well, she's lost there.
For many, many years.
She's lost there.
Oh, I'm so glad.
She seems very friendly also with someone she refers to as the nurse. She doesn't refer to this person by a name at all. She just calls her nurse. Someone who I think must have been rather good to her at some time. Do you know the name of Clayton?
Clayton, yes, I do.
She's referring to someone called Clayton.
Nice. Well, Clayton was the original bone setter that she went to when her back started to be bad. Yeah. She went to him for about 6 months.
Well, I don't know if she would call him a nurse. I should hardly have thought so.
Well, but I wouldn't have thought so.
She's talking about the past, obviously, and she's talking about a nurse that was very good to her. And she's also talking about someone, Clayton, who's very good to her, and she seems very grateful for all that was done. She said at times on earth she probably didn't give that impression, but she is grateful, and she realizes, of course, the great help that various people, particularly yourself, gave her. She's also talking about someone. I don't know if I've got this right at all. Sounds like CB. I don't know if they're initials or if it's a nickname or what it is.
CB.
She's met old CB, whoever CB is.
Well, I'll sort it out after.
And who's Sissy?
Oh, Sissy was a great friend of hers. Matter of fact, Sissy was the bridesmaid when she was married.
Well, she's met a lot of these people in the old days. Old Sissy, she calls her Sissy.
Yeah,
And CB, she keeps on saying CB. I don't know if her name is Sissy B something.
Charles, that could be Charles something, I don't
know. And also she's talking about Harriet. No.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, it will be Harriet, I think.
Harriet. And your father, and she seems to be getting on very well. I told her that. I don't see him at the moment, but... it's all right. And Louis, Lou, is another person that comes, whom I do not see, but I'm made conscious of their presence by a thought. Someone called Louis.
Yes.
Wishes to be remembered. A lot of these people are to do with your early years, that you may not even know some of them personally, but your mother knew them.
That's right. She's going a long way back, around about the time of her girlhood when she was first married. Right back into the family she's gone.
She's very happy.
I'm glad about that, because she never had a happy life when she was down here.
Oh, and October is a very special anniversary, but it's not an anniversary from the point of view of a birthday. She says it was when she made up her mind, and she took the plunge. I don't know what she means exactly by that, but...
Oh, I think I can.
Anyway,
what she's talking about.
Your friend is here. And I don't feel disposed to take up his valuable time, but I just felt I had to come, and since your mother particularly was anxious to get a few messages to you, I do my best to do that. She's extremely happy. Goodbye, my
dear. Bye-bye, Doctor, and thank you so much.
Hello.
Hello, Rudy.
I am not taking up all the time today.
No.
But I am very pleased to be able to come and speak to you again, as I always am, you know.
Yes, I know that.
Well, are you beginning to settle down after all your adventures?
Yes, I think so. Things seem to be getting along fairly well.
You are glad you went?
Yes, I'm very glad.
In spite of all the upheaval and the, well, chaos.
Yes, Rudy, I am very glad I went. For lots of reasons. I don't know, but I think I did a little bit of good out there.
I think you are more pleased this time that you went because of Lovisi.
That's right, I am.
Than you are than anything else.
I think he needed something.
Yes.
To
and
keep
him
going.
I think that with the people coming this year again, yourself and the French people, made him feel, well, it was worth the effort, you know.
I know.
It was not he alone. if his own countrymen are not so interested, at least he knows the rest of the world is interested, or at least some of the world. I think he realizes that he's got a hard fight, but he will come through.
Yes, I hope.
But he's got one or two obstacles yet to be removed, and they will be removed eventually, as I think I've told you.
Yes, I know. Rudy, there's one thing I was going to ask you. You know, all this, I think it would be so nice if some of these teachings could be brought through and made into, well, for want of a better word, a collection of them. Something that could be left behind and perhaps referred to. You see, we shan't live forever, love, and there's nothing really to leave behind for other people to understand, is there?
Well, surely that is the idea, that eventually there would be books.
Yes, I know.
Lynn is working on a book, as you know.
I know.
I only hope it will come out. I hope that you will eventually get it published. That is, I want it published, but I want it published only when it is, you know, as I would like it.
Yes.
And you can do the same.
Yes, but when are we going to start?
When are we going to start what?
This book.
Oh,
yes. You see, I wondered if you could just bring through one of your teaching, perhaps at each sitting, just a little something that could be all put together, and then perhaps eventually, well, when I've got them all tight, they would be useful for reference. See, so many people don't know the first thing about this subject at all, do they?
I agree.
And your teachings, they are so wonderful, you know.
And yet, in a sense, I do not teach any more than others teach here. Anything that is fundamentally new, I mean, the fundamental truth of life after death has always been the same. There are many people in your world who are afraid of truth. They are afraid to delve and to seek, and it seems to me that since it concerns everybody, you would have thought that everybody would be interested, but it is not so. Many people, for various reasons, fight shy of delving into this, because either of religious reasons, strong religious prejudice, or perhaps fear, it's invariably fear either way, fear of something. So many people are afraid even to think about death, and yet it is something which everyone must face. I don't know why there should be this fear, because it is something that should be looked forward to. It is a great adventure. It is going to sleep in one room, as it were, and waking up in another, far, far more beautiful, and containing all the things that you would desire and wish. There is no reason why people should fear. It is this that holds people back. They will not make the adventure. They will not strive to seek and to find. After all, if you're going to take a journey in your world, you prepare for it. You make arrangements. You do everything you can to see that it will go smoothly, and you will see that you have everything that is necessary. And yet, nobody, or very few people, that is, prepare on your side for the great adventure. They do not prepare within themselves. In other words, they do not even attempt to live the kind of life which will help them when they come here. They hold on to things which are immaterial, which they know they cannot bring with them. They don't do the things which would help them. After all, why should you not learn something about a country before you go there? If you're going to visit Italy, or if you're going to visit Germany, or whatever it may be, you like to read about the country, you like to know something about it, what to expect, and what to look for, and so on. And yet people never, never consider the great adventure which everyone must take. They always avoid it. They always avoid the subject to discuss it if they can. They are not interested, or if they are interested, they are afraid. Surely it is a good thing to learn something, to know something about it. And that's why I think if we can, in a series of sessions like this, be able to discuss life after death, what it means, and how to prepare for it in the right sense, and how at the same time to live in your world in a balanced way. After all, we don't expect people on earth to be saints, because there are no saints here. Everyone is a human being according to his development or lack of it. Nevertheless, everyone has develop to a point. I mean, no one stands still. There's no such thing as being stationary. Here everything is life and movement and change. Here we are learning and expressing, and everyone is an intelligent human being. We don't look upon ourselves in any way as being far removed from the earth. We may be far removed from the earth in certain respects, that is, mentally and spiritually, but we're still very much in touch with the earth, touch with the people that we love, trying desperately to help them and to guide them and to uplift them if we can. And there are unfortunately very few people who will be helped, who will allow themselves to be helped. They do not even realize that we're trying to communicate with them. That's why if we can break down the barriers and we can take away the fear that people have, we can help them. That is the whole idea of my coming and everyone else coming through, to uplift people, to guide people, to instruct people, to make them feel that there is something wonderful to look forward to and how to prepare for it. That is the purpose of our coming.
Yes, Rudy, that's right. That's very wonderful. You see, that's the type of thing that I had in mind when I asked you. Play that to anyone, and it's a beginning. It makes them start thinking for themselves.
You see, the whole point is surely that people do not realize that, in a sense, they are living two lives, one on earth. They do not understand, they do not realize that they have a spiritual life, which is invariably, with the majority of people, lying almost dormant, having no activity, no opportunity of expressing itself. Thus, the majority of people are only concerned with the material life. They know they have a material body, they know they have a material life, and they live it. And they try to extract from it everything that they can, all manner of things, good and bad for that matter. But what they don't realize is that there is a spiritual body and there is a spiritual power of which they are ignorant. And if they would allow that power to express itself and to make itself known and felt through the physical body while yet on earth, they would not only change the course of their own lives, they would not only become different people and better people, but they would have an influence on others for good. The point is that no one seems to realize that the only way in which you can hope to be happy in your world, to live in the way in which it is intended you should live, and extract from the earth all that is good and lose that which is not so good from yourself, is to allow the spiritual part of yourself, which is so often very dormant in the vast majority of people, to have its place. People don't know how to balance themselves. If only they realize that the physical body is only the shell, it is only the outer covering, it is only that part of man which is necessary while he is traveling the path of human endeavor when on earth. It is only the physical self, which is by no means the most important. It is only the machine through which the spirit should express itself. And if man will give the opportunity to himself to really live and experience spiritually, his whole life would be changed. The motivation of and the course of his existence would be so different. And if only people could see as we see, not as so many do on your side, just the physical body. We see the spiritual body and the material body entwined, as it were. And when there is complete harmony between the two, when there is realization of the spiritual body while yet on earth, and the spiritual power that inhabits or should infuse and should affect the material, when people realize this harmony can exist and there can be cooperation between the two, living as it were while yet on the earth in the spiritual sense. And by that I don't mean that you have to be necessarily religious. So many people confuse issues. They think that to be spiritual you have to be religious, which is quite untrue. Actually, religion as such has very little to do with true spirituality, because you can be a completely different person through spiritual endeavor and spiritual expression without necessarily having to be attached to any particular religious body. Your organization has nothing to do with religion as such. And the power of the spirit is such that it can override so much of the self, the material self, that it can change the whole course of one's thinking and the whole course of one's life in consequence. People just don't realize the power of the spirit. If they understood it and realized it, they could do such amazing things. You know, there are so many things which seem, as you read about them, about past times and peoples in particular, they seem impossible and it could never have happened. But these things did happen because these people had the realization of the power of the spirit within them, and in consequence that power was able to achieve through the physical body extraordinary things. I mean, many of the so-called saints, they were not saints in the sense that some people would have it believe. They were people who had a great realization of the power of the spirit within them, and in consequence they were able to use that power, able to manifest it. And in consequence, because people on earth, generally speaking, did not understand it, thought that these things were miracles, and they make them into saints. Whereas all this power is there for all to use. It's all a matter of realizing it and using it. But as you use it, so you become transformed. People just don't understand the tremendous vitality, the tremendous power, which after all said and done is the basis of all life. It is the dynamic force which keeps man alive. There is no death, because it is this very force which is life itself. It is this power which animates and makes possible all things. And you particularly find it with some of the saints, and some people who were not saints, as the world understands it. Why is it that some people who seem to have nothing to offer in the way of gifts, of intellect or brain or intelligence or artistic integrity or whatever you like to say it may be, and yet achieve greatness in the true sense, greatness of the spirit, I mean, who against all odds, against sickness and disease, for instance, are able to do great things, travel great distances and achieve great things among peoples whose needs are many. There are so many instances and cases of people who have a tremendous urge of the spirit to overcome even the difficulties and the complexities of the material life and the infirmities of the body, and yet do great things of a spiritual nature. They get this power, they get this tremendous vitality from the spirit which is all around and about, and which manifests itself in every human being to some degree. But to those who are conscious and aware of it, they can overcome many of the things of which they are always complaining. Always you hear people say, oh, I do not think I can do this, I have not the energy or the vitality, and they haven't got this and they have not got that. They're always crying out like voices in the wilderness, because there is nothing, so it seems to them, to hope for. And yet within themselves is a reservoir of power. There is a great force which, if only they draw upon it, can overcome all the ills, all the weaknesses of the flesh, and can give them a new way of life, a new understanding, a new realization, so that they could become truly spiritual individuals to such an extent that all the material complexities and difficulties of life could be, as it were, almost diminished. The power of the spirit is such that it can overcome all things if you have faith in it and believe in it and accept it and use it. But people are so ignorant, they're so afraid to search and to seek, and they will always be fighting one another because they don't understand each other. And when you ask them what they're fighting for, they don't really know. And invariably it is some material thing which they know they cannot bring with them here, which has no real value. But if only they would get together and work together in peace and in love and in harmony and let the power of the spirit use them, great things could be achieved. That's why when you come and talk to me and other people come and talk to me, I all the time feel if only I can make people realize what they have within themselves, to draw upon it, to use it, and to let it manifest itself so that they will be changed, and also in consequence they will change others. That is our work, that is our task.
Yes,
I feel sure you understand this.
I do.
But I want other people to understand it. For instance, like your little friend downstairs, she has no realization of what she herself could do if she were to think right. All the time she is thinking of self. All the time she is thinking selfishly. When people stop thinking of self, stop thinking selfishly, and start to think of others, what they can do in some shape or form to help others, what they can do to make the world a little better, a little brighter. People who have suffered great, great tragedies and great illness, some of them have that ability to submerge themselves in service and in love for others. and in consequence much of their own ill and pain disappears in consequence. But these people who dwell completely and absolutely on themselves, always fretting, always crying out about themselves and their pain and their aches, and not only of the physical body but of the heart, when they then realize that within themselves is the cure, it isn't outside the cure, it's within themselves. So many people go crying here and crying there, seeking solace, seeking help from some source or other, but they don't realize that they have a strength within themselves, they have a power within themselves that will change them completely, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. Much of the illness and the sickness in your world is brought on by the selfishness of the human race, because people have no time, no interest for others. They're only concerned with what they can get themselves materially. Very few are ever concerned with what they can achieve and hope for spiritually. Your friend could be cured, but she must start on herself first. She must, for instance, start to realize the power is within her own self. Although she can be helped from outside, and it is good to help, and it is good to give and to receive, but at the same time, she must help herself before anyone else can help her.
Yes, I think that most of her illness is a matter of nerves.
I'm sure of it. One day perhaps we will be able to have many long talks. I look forward for this very much. There's so much one wants to say, but it will take time. But each time you will find I will try to strike a new note, you know, to discuss some new aspect, some new way, so that it will be of service and help to all kinds of people. But if only people will start to think and start in consequence to perceive the power of the spirit and what it can do, it will be the beginning and the rest will follow. I'm so happy that you understand about this. Your mama is very happy today.
Yes,
she's been very close to you. She seems to be surrounded by old friends, and she sends all her love and blessing to you.
Yes,
my own mama comes sometimes.
Yes, does she?
I must go now.
Yes, give her my
all
love
my
too.
Love and blessing to you.
Yes, please.
And don't worry. Look after yourself. At the same time, know that you will be careful.
I know.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mickey. See you again soon.
Yes,
you know.
It's good today. Yes. Bye-bye. I got him on something I really was, interested in and wondering. Very
good, wasn't it?
Yes. This down gets all typed again and start building up something.